Well, I'm leaving.
Oh shit. All right. Hey everybody. Welcome back to Homeschool, the podcast where Andrew and Rivers and I do monologue jokes for a little bit while a comedian guest heckles us, laughs, or maybe even leaves the Zoom if they're not into it.
Or gets drunk in the middle and closes the laptop.
And shuts the laptop. That's happened before.
Has it happened? I figured.
Oh boy. I haven't talked to him. I should reach out. Anyway, we talk about our lives, what's going on in the world, and ask some questions of that celebrity comedian guest. This week we have the phenomenal, the wonderful, the lovely Jeremy Horn.
That's me.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast. Before we get started, you got anything coming up shows-wise that you're producing and performing on? You always got something cooking. In somebody's hotel lobby or outdoor venue, or probably not right now. What you got?
That's generally what it's become. Andrew knows. He's done a couple with me, but now with everything closed down, people want those private shows. So that's what we've been doing. Yeah.
And then, so now that they want private shows, they stop booking Andrew. Ugh, you don't want
giving you a private that backyard show back in the early days was a good time. And then, right. It was weird to perform with the mask, you know?
Yeah.
I remember, like, starting to take it off, and you're like, what are you doing? It's part of the contract. And I was like, oh, I don't know, fucking, we're outdoors. It was before we knew anything about COVID and that it was fake, you know, so.
What's funny is because they pay us and book us to perform, is that every person that books the show is like their own emperor. Like they make certain, they're not rude, but they make certain demands. And they're like, hey, so we're not going to wear masks, but the former performers do have to. And it's just a way to wield power to me. It's just a way for them to say, here is what I decree.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so that wasn't for me. That was for them.
Audience is fully clothed. Performers are naked.
All right.
The one we did, Corey, the one you and I did, they could not have been sweeter and gave us their expensive alcohol, and we're happy to share it. It's great. I'm always a
good
food. Food. They got us a food truck. It's been nice.
I gotta get booked on more of these private
came
gigs.
They came out to shows. That one lady was real cute. Whole thing.
Oh yeah. Oh, did they come out to show? That's great. Oh, that's right, because you were doing that weekend. Yeah.
Nice. Anyway, do you have anything coming up though?
We just all those private gigs. We just finished up two of the dope shows and one with Andrew.
So right. Why don't you promote your private gig and give out someone's address and,
exactly.
And see who shows up? I got a stalker in New Mexico, so
I need to get down your address off of your mailing labels and just start doing that.
Yeah, send shit to his house.
Send shit. Let's see.
What do you have coming up, Andrew?
Oh, I'm on tour with Hofstetter all month of November, so I don't need to worry about selling those tickets. But December 2nd, Portland. December 3rd, Eugene. December 4th, Bend, Oregon. December 12th, Renton, Washington. And December 17th, North Bend, Washington.
Ah, yes. And those are all with me except for the North Bend gig. And
they requested you to not come back. So.
Yep, they were very specific.
And
I got Palm Harbor, Florida this Thursday, the 28th. I've sold 22 whole tickets. Settle down, slow down. They're running low.
So you're going to take it easy the rest of the month then, huh?
Yeah, it's a 26-seat venue, so we're almost sold out. Can't wait. And let's do the jokes. But before we do the jokes, 3-second pause because I don't know how to edit things. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 65 of Homeschool. This podcast all started last year with a bunch of jokes about Florida. So here we are, 21 months into the pandemic. Or if you're in Florida, what's COVID?
Day one. Florida's actually voting. They're getting their shit together. They're voting to approve mushrooms as a treatment for mental illness. I think that's a good thing for them. I mean, it can't go any worse than their extensive research of bath salts.
Oh, yeah.
For mental illness in Florida, it should be mandatory.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
That's right. Well, I'm
the
actually.
The good thing
is
they got a great control group to study from.
Yeah. Right.
They all know when they get the placebo. They're like, nah, this is not. I can tell.
This is not the good stuff.
I'm actually headed to Florida for the first time this week to do some shows and some bath salts, actually.
Oh, yeah, me too. Except for the bath salts, I'm doing mushrooms, so.
Smart. Smart. Well, the good news for me is that I'm actually working with Brad Upton, and he travels with bath salts, so.
Ah, oh, well, I think those are a different kind of bath salts.
That's just for his sore knees, right?
Yeah.
Is it Epsom salt? When he takes off his shoes, he makes the same noise as when he has sex.
Stop it. Get off me. What? Those are my noises, but I can't breathe. Well,
that's the cops.
Oh, God, sorry.
Take that, beloved comic.
Well, if Brad Upton's going to be taking a bath, make sure he's wearing his life alert, okay?
And
get him one of those showers with a door so he doesn't slip. You don't want to lose your meal ticket.
That's right.
Before we switch topics, have you guys ever seen Brad Upton on the old Almost Live days?
His ranting, he was like doing like a Weekend Update kind of thing.
Yeah, he was like a correspondent, like a Lewis Black style. It's great. You can find him online.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm into that. Oh, yeah. Man. Good well, he's been Brad. Around for
Why didn't
a long
we get
time?
Brad for this podcast instead of Jeremy? What the hell?
I petitioned for that, actually.
Okay.
well, yep, don't want to lose my meal ticket. That's what Brad gives me to work with them. It's two meal tickets. But you must be watching all those ads on Fox News again. What's this all about?
I can't help it, man. I mean, all these police officers are going viral for quitting their job. It's a real tearjerker.
Oh, that was my ex-wife's favorite sex move, actually.
What is that, using your tears as lube so she can jerk you off?
Oh, no, crying because she didn't come.
I get it. It's my move also. But, yeah, man, it's a crazy time. Cops are resigning over vaccine mandates, and you'd think they want to protect and serve, but they like COVID around as long as possible because it attacks minorities better than they can.
Oh, wait, I shouldn't.
No finger guns
on that joke. We shouldn't force cops to take a vaccine. They already have qualified immunity from all charges.
Nice.
No one will get these jokes. But listen, the comedy club I was at was still recovering from COVID, according to the booker. So in order to save money, there was no feature act, and they defunded policing the room. So a bunch of hecklers out there.
Oh, great. Well, speaking of defunding, Philadelphia has become the first major U.S. city to end pulling drivers over for minor traffic offenses, finally living up to its name, City of Brotherly Love.
Yeah.
Love those brothers.
They should call them minority traffic offenses. Just
there you go.
Quit the act there.
What is a minority traffic offense? Like spoilers and
yeah. You're too black. Like, I mean, your windows are too black. Shit.
Yeah.
I'll write that down. Maybe.
We're here to tag. We're here to tag.
Windows are too black. I mean, yeah, whatever. I'm glad. You know, less traffic stops, and I'd like to see more mental health checks. You know, because I'm constantly shouting in traffic, like, what are you, crazy? You're going 55 and 54. Speed the fuck up. Get out of my lane. Go.
Yeah, they're the mental one. They're not making ticky-tack arrests anymore. I accidentally let the word fuck slip on my flight last weekend, and the attendant was like, hey, it's a plane. Easy on the F-bombs. And I was like, hey, how about easy on the bomb bombs? It's a plane.
I read that when you tweeted that, Corey, and I heard it in your voice.
Your
voice telling it.
Now everybody
you hear
just
Corey's
did.
Voice
now
in your head every
it.
Night as you go to bed. What are you doing saying fuck on an airplane for anyway?
Well, I was just asking the flight attendant to help me join the Mile High Club.
Is that their frequent flyer program, or
apparently that's against federal regulations or whatever? I don't know.
Did you tell her that you have a bomb ass dick?
Ooh, she does. She did say she had a landing strip for me to see, and that's just where the federal agents were waiting. Right this way, sir. Come down here.
You end up getting a bunch of men to put you in handcuffs just how you wanted it. So yeah, sounds like everything worked out.
Not the results I wanted.
That's right. Hey, man, that just proves good things happen when you shoot your shot.
Well, not if you're Alec Baldwin. He is in the news for an accident on set that left a cinematographer dead. I don't know. All the jokes have already been tried. Do you want to take a shot?
Well, I don't know. I thought maybe I'll take a stab at it, but it seems like a loaded question.
Yes. Well, I'm drawing a blank as well.
Well, that seems fair. We can just move on to the next story, you know? Sweep that one under the rug. And I read this, like, Toronto is working on a plan to vaccinate animals.
Hey, enough slander. Even though they're gross, unvaccinated, selfish pieces of shit, they're still humans, you know? Don't call them animals.
Yeah, well, I was talking about the zoo, the Toronto Zoo.
Oh, okay.
Is vaccinating animals against COVID-19.
Got it. Sorry. I mean, I trust the gorillas, but I bet some animals will weasel their way out of it.
Hey.
A little bit squirrely, those ones.
I must still be high from our show, Andrew, because I'm still thinking, all I can think about is the Baldwin family. It's just like, if Steven was prop master, all I'm getting is just Billy and who else was involved in this? I'm getting all the like Epstein conspiracies in this Baldwin thing.
Maybe there's some.
It seems.
If it was a bomb on the set, it'd be Steven.
Well. Yeah, it just seems so absurd to let that kind of thing even happen. Like,
yeah.
What is real ammunition doing anywhere near?
Anywhere like, close.
A movie set in the. What are you doing?
Right. Yeah. So many.
Apparently,
so many
it was the third misfire of the shoot. I don't know. It's the whole thing.
Is someone like, hey, we need a fake gun, and they're like, oh, I got one in my car. Hang on, let me just take the bullets out. Like,
that movie sounds like it was going to be the fifth misfire of his career.
Ooh, his career is dead. Also, I don't know. What if some of these animals don't want to get vaccinated? You know, is there a dolphin that's like, I want to do my own research?
Good dolphin. Porcupine is like, great, another fucking needle. Great.
Yeah, I got 100 of them. But apparently, I was reading about it. They train them with food, and they give them fake shots that don't actually puncture the skin to get them used to it. And then after a few weeks, the animals are totally calm for the real one. So.
Yeah. I feel like all those police dog animals would not get the vaccine.
Yeah.
Stand in solidarity. All the German shepherds and Doberman pinschers like, nah. I'll sniff out cocaine.
They kneel for the anthem, but it's because their owner told them to sit or whatever. I don't know.
All those dogs that already have the microchips in them for in case they get lost, like, yes, I'm not getting the Bill Gates microchip.
There's something there. That's
I like that. I like to sniff the cocaine, but they won't.
I won't get the jab.
is this whole thing effective?
Oh yeah, the training the animals. Well, sounds like it works on all types of animals. New York City jails are offering inmates Big Macs as incentives to get vaccinated.
Ooh. Oh, that's the animals. All right, wait. So if you're an inmate, they will bribe you, but if you work at the jail, they'll threaten to fire you. Interesting. I bet you could convince some of those pigs to get vaccinated with a Big Mac. Not at the zoo.
At the zoo.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a cat person. There's not a cat in the world that would get the vaccine. Cats won't do anything you want them to do.
I can't even get close enough to pet the cat, let alone fucking
stab it.
Stab it. I'd like to stab a few cats for all the blood they've drawn from me. But what are we talking about? The vaccinating the pigs in the jails and look, take the vaccine. We want you to be healthy. But don't worry. Tomorrow you'll be back to your regular powdered eggs and milk. You know, we see you doing lots of push-ups in that cell. We don't want you to get too strong. Now get some rest. You've got a long day of carving your toothbrush into a shank ahead of you.
Yeah, we want you to be super, super healthy, so we're going to give you Big Macs. Look, we here at Prisons for Profit, Inc., want you to be healthy. That's why we keep you locked up 23 hours a day. Sunlight's harmful. You ever had a sunburn? That's dangerous. Cause cancer. So
our highest priority is our clients.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great terminology there. What do you? What, you didn't
you
even
can't exist without you.
I mean, these prisoners don't know how good they got it. I mean, outside there's COVID and global warming. It's fucked up. I stay inside 23 hours a day. Also, you know, jail doesn't sound so bad.
Right. And rent is free in jail, but you got to give up that sweet, sweet ass.
Hey, again, I'm not seeing much differences in my personal life.
Yeah. Or as Andrew calls it, rent.
Come on, Daddy.
Come on, Sean. Well, speaking of future inmates, NFL news. A fan that was given Tom Brady's record 600th touchdown ball by accident is negotiating with him for its safe return. All he's asking for is a round of golf with Tom Brady.
What?
Yeah. What would you ask for, Jeremy? What were you?
A suicide pact, him and me. Let's both go out on a high.
I don't know if he's gonna get that one.
You want the ball?
Okay, fine. We'll make golf plan B. What would you ask him for?
You could really bury him down there on the golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to fill a few holes with Giselle, if you know what I mean.
Oh my!
And then use Plan B. You wanna golf with Giselle?
Nah, I'd like to fill her with her mouth with cream donuts.
Pigs.
Yeah, pigs. Look, I think I don't know much about her, but I feel like, you know, models should get paid way more because I don't know what they make, but it's obviously not enough. She's barely able to eat.
Oh, the poor gal. Wow. Yeah,
that is true.
What is she, a size zero? It's just real bad over there.
She's got a twin sister, too. That's incredible.
Wait, what?
Twin sister? You know that? She has a twin sister. And
no.
One of them is like a $20 million supermodel, and the other one is, I don't know, a TJ Maxx. I don't know what she does. But she's not Giselle, you know?
She got all the good jeans. Yeah. Missing teeth.
It's like,
Ross, dress for less all over your breasts.
it's like a Brazilian version of twins.
Huh.
Yeah, they're both, they look great.
She's no Danny DeVito. All right.
She's no Danny DeVito. What would you ask? What would you ask from Tommy Terrific, Corey?
Well, I mean, at least 50,000 or just something that gives me a lot of attention, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, Corey wants to go on tour as the asshole who extorted a player for a ball. You know, it's a real catchy slogan.
It is. I mean, I'd ask for an autograph from Aaron Rodgers.
Nice. I think that would get a lot of attention. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like an autograph from our guest here because then I can forge a signature and fill some prescriptions.
Nice.
I don't think he's a real doctor. He sells gas station boner pills in a fancier building.
Well, I must have taken some of those pills because I'm getting real horny for Jeremy Horn, everybody.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I got some right back here. I'm in the storeroom. I'm the back storeroom.
I can see him.
Right? He's in the closet, just like we all
those are. Those are the horse pills. Those are those horse pills.
Give me some horse pills. Yeah.
Ivermectin, where is it? You got some people to cover for you because you're the man and you do all the work, so you just
I tried to haul in a couple of employees to cover so I can do, you know, the important work, the Lord's work.
Yes. It's a big podcast that 27 people listen to a week.
Big
you were
podcast.
Like, I got it. You gotta do
should
it.
We, should we thank all them those, by name? Should we just go through and thank them by name?
Yeah.
That's what we
Corey,
do.
Corey's mom.
Not Andrew.
Not Andrew.
He refuses to listen.
Andrew hasn't subscribed yet.
I get the downloads just so I can screenshot it and share it on my Instagram story, but I stopped doing that like 30 episodes ago because it didn't make a difference.
Yeah.
you were tracking the results and it wasn't. The sponsorship
nobody
wasn't paying off.
Nobody clicks on anything. Like, this my theory on Instagram is like it knows when I'm trying to promote something. I'll get like 1,000 people viewing my story if it's just like a bullshit nothing. But if it's like, hey, my album came out, it took 3 years, I'm proud of everything, and it's the best thing I've ever done, and it's like 142 viewers on your story, and I'm like, Instagram
knows.
Isn't
that funny? There's something about like just the motion of clicking is people are just like, meh, no. I'll scroll for 14 hours straight. You know what I mean? Looking for a jackass pranking his girlfriend, but yeah. I gotta click on something. Ugh,
oh, is this Instagram model showing her ass? No. Yeah. All right, just keep clicking and hoping. Yeah.
Well, anything that takes you away from the app, you know, that's gonna get buried. So.
Right. Right.
So they're like, hey, you can attach links at 10,000, but also at 10,000, you start attaching links, we're going to bury you. So
yeah. Oh, they told me they invited me to participate in the Reels program where you get money for your videos. And all I did was post one joke about dead kids, and then they demonetized me. So I don't even know. What do you want, Instagram? I got perfect jokes about dead kids.
Take that shit over to OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Did they demonetize the program?
The whole program quit because of me. Out. Yeah, yeah. Wow. They just they're like, hey, listen, we really fucked up. And
but is it gone for real? I remember seeing that. Are Reels gone?
Like, no, Reels are still there. It's like under a minute. You know,
but they're not doing pay per play anymore.
Not for me. I think not they will allow it for certain creators. I've heard of other like Giannis Pappas is a funny comedian, and he's like. I don't know much. I'm hesitant, but he's complaining about shadow bans and all this stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's that or just, you know, I'm sure there is a naughty list or whatever, but
right. or just
I built my following with IGTV, you know, these right. like 3-minute videos, and I would get like 200,000 views on them. And now I post them and they get like, you know, 600 views. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, the content's getting better, but the Instagram just hates me for some reason. I don't know.
Well, they finally watched your material.
He released something. Let's take a look. Oh, shit. We've been promoting this guy.
Yeah.
That's great. But you guys worked together recently, live and in person.
That's true.
That was a good one. That was a fun one.
That was a good show, man.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was telling Jeremy, it was just like, we were kind of, I was so high for the car. Here's what we do the dope show. Shout out to Tyler Smith. And you do a set sober and then you take a break and smoke a bunch of marijuana and come back and try to perform fucked up. But I'm a stoner already. So for the first time I showed up to one of these things, like, you know, a little bit stoned already. just to have my base be higher, you know, because I wanted to experience the full Monty or whatever, but Jeremy wouldn't show his penis. And
show must go on.
Yeah, so then I got real high, and I was in the back of I was in the green room stairwell, like rehearsing my jokes, going like, how do I, for some reason, like. Whenever you get on stage, it just feels normal and you can do it. But off stage, I'm sitting there going like, how does this, I don't, I'm going to, I was like texting this girl that didn't come to the show that I was trying to flirt with. And I was like, I'm too high. This might, and then I had like my favorite set I've ever had in my life on the high set of the show. And Jeremy was making fun of me because I was getting all stonery. And I was like in the pocket. It was just like, I could hear a pin drop in between a joke. It was so perfect. They were paying attention. And I don't know if the audience got high in the middle of the show, too, because I was up there going, like, I'm going to skip this vaccine joke. Spokane doesn't like me. And
I can hear a pin drop usually during the punchlines. So that's
I know. That's what's between, crazy. You know? Yeah.
So. No, Rivers was full on speaking stoner speak. Like, after a set, he was like, I was in the pocket, man. I could just feel the vibrations coming from the crowd. I was like, yeah, man, I was here, too. Yeah. But
that's
it was like a so like I'm not a stoner. I just don't. I mean, it's just never been a part of me. And like we were talking, the first time I ever really started smoking weed regularly was because of this stupid goddamn show 2 years ago, right? So Tyler basically just like gatewayed me into smoking weed.
Hey, it's
hey,
the
don't
show.
Call it gateway.
No plugs.
Proprietary. I'm listening. I'm listening.
I'm sending Billy to your house, and he's gonna let the dogs out. Okay.
Yeah, he owns that word now.
Who let the dogs out?
Woof.
But yeah, so like, the opposite is that, like you said, the conceit of the show is you do a sober set and then a stone set. So never do I ever crave marijuana. That 4.5 hour drive to Spokane, I was dying for a joint. For the first time in my life, I was like, oh
I mean,
God.
You had to ride with Andrew. Oh wait, he drove or he flew.
Yeah, I flew in. Funny story about that. Texting this girl. She's 2 weeks ago FaceTiming me in her bra and going, I can't wait, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I used you a year ago to get back at my ex, and we sent dirty photos, and then I ghosted you, unfollowed you for a couple months, and then I followed you again, and you probably didn't notice because you get so many notifications, but I know I figured it out. But so then I'm like once a week, I'm sending her a text, like I send her like a meme, you know, like an Idaho meme or whatever, Biden's Montana sniffing Idaho, and just to be like, hey, can't wait to see ya. So then the day of the show, I go, hey, do I get to see you tonight? And she's like, oh, you're coming to town tonight? What the? And I'm like, I swear, you know, I sent her like a screenshot of the text. No, nothing. And then I'm at the comedy club. So I flew in from Minneapolis. I landed at home. I live, you know, 8 minutes from the airport. So I was like, oh, I'll just chill here. I'm looking at my phone at like 1 p.m. and I'm realizing it's like a 4:20 p.m. show. So I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I was debating driving over, but then I checked the showtime and I was like, yeah, I'll just fly. And I booked a hotel. And then, I land at the show. I get to the club and she's texting me going, Google Maps says that the comedy club is closed. Are you sure the show is today? And I'm like, I'm at the comedy club right now. I sent her a photo in the comedy club. She's like, I don't see anything. I'm like, I swear you're an idiot. But anyway, so then she didn't show up. And then the show's over. I'm getting in my car and I'm like, all right, well, I'll just go jerk off on these sheets in the hotel to make it worth my money. And I like look up my reservation to find like the, you know, I'm like, was it this one? Or I couldn't.
You got
remember.
A rental car too?
Yeah.
A
rental car. And so then, your reservation's for November 12th. And I'm like, what, how the fuck did I do that? I'm an idiot. Because I was stoned earlier in the day.
But perfect.
But then I was like, great. So I can cancel that.
I know how you did it. They auto-populate when you go on, and it auto-populates the wrong date all the time.
So happens is I was comparing two hotels, you know, clicking back and forth. And then I go, nope, this one. So it reset the date, you know, bunch of dumb stuff. But anyway, I called Tyler in a hurry. I'm like, how far are you? Like, can you meet me at the airport? And he's like, yeah, I got to stop and get gas. So then I just sat in the back stoned off my ass. And
you just put on your headphones like you were in an airplane.
Yeah, after an hour, I was like, I can't talk anymore.
I know. I'm talking to Tyler.
Handed me Krispy Kreme donuts and...
Well, I take care of my people.
Yeah, man.
So did that girl ever get back in touch with you at all about anything? Nothing?
What was the last text I got from her?
So nothing from that day, just no show?
No, you know, there was also like,
when you
waitress that I was flirting with too, but yeah, like literally the last text is like, no, this is, I'm at the show right now.
No response.
This is a photo of me at the show. No response.
After all that, no response.
You know.
You preface this, whole thing by saying like, got a funny story for you. So.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Waiting for the payoff.
Yeah, real sad.
No.
More sad. More sad than anything.
They all end like this.
That's why audiences always ask for their money back. Well, the other story, I already told you this one, but at the comedy club in Minneapolis, there's these dancing ladies pre-show, and I film them, and I'm like, there's no way this lady's a perfect audience member. She's going to be awful. Great, perfect audience. Couldn't ask for anything else. Second show, dancing again on the stage even, and I'm like, no.
Different lady.
Nope, different lady. I'm going, nope. I'm perfect. Different guy. This is really funny because, you know, I do the joke about got to give Biden some credit. You know, he got that vaccine out quickly, and this guy goes, boo. And I'm like, it helps to have a son who knows where to get drugs. And then, laugh. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could see his face because he's probably sitting there going, oh.
Oh,
for me, you know,
I'm an idiot. I shouldn't have, yeah.
And then I go, that wouldn't work for either president. And I'm sure he was like, pissed
you
off again.
Just
looked into the darkness, and I was like, I bet that was a real roller coaster for you, sir. You know,
seeing that face is so satisfying when you get him.
I know, it's man. It was too dark, but then it was probably a different guy, but later in the show, some people kept yelling out, and after the show, I was like talking to the manager, and he was like, yeah, this guy walked in and was like, hey, can I heckle the comedian? And the guy was like, well, probably not. But what did he say? He said, use your best judgment.
Yeah.
Says, probably well, not.
You just use your judgment. I'm like, can we not even say that? Yeah. Like,
No, the answer should have been no. Yeah. Moving on.
Someone who asks that question does not have a judgment.
That's true. Right.
You know what I learned over the weekend? This is fascinating. Andrew, you didn't know this part, but I genuinely did not know that you could get hungover from weed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I didn't know, but it has the same, like, so that morning, Tyler made himself some brownies, right?
Yeah.
So for our 4.5 hour drive, he barely made it to my house. Like, he looked like a ghost. He looked like just horrible, right?
Yeah.
But you can't be like, hey, man, you all right? Right?
Yeah.
And then he tells me when we're in the car and that he just thrown up right before picking me up. And then he told me that story. I thought marijuana's for nausea. I didn't know you could eat so much that it triggers a, like, hangover response that you've been drinking. That's wild.
I don't, I've never done that much, I guess.
Never, not even close. I can't even imagine.
I wouldn't imagine, I thought it'd be really hard for someone like Tyler to smoke that much to
right.
Or eat
well,
it.
He had brownies, I think, and he went a little crazy.
But that's for someone like Tyler, who's such a veteran weed smoker, it's almost like a cry for help. It's like the kid that he's 40 aspirin. Like, what's this about? What is this really about?
Funny.
Was that the morning he picked you up to go over? No.
Yeah, so he
drove back that same night. He was a real trooper.
Real trooper. He threw up, picked me up, and then we drove 5 hours to Spokane.
Rally. Yeah,
Jeremy usually throws up, but that's for his dieting. But
that's just to stay pretty.
Yeah,
stay lean.
It is not working. Here's the thing I'm obsessed with lately is so part of the group on the first night, those dancing girls. There was one. Beautiful, probably in her mid-20s, blonde hair, 5'8", exactly what I prefer.
Okay.
She's walking out. I'm selling T-shirts, and, like, someone's blocking her way, and I kind of go, hey, you got to move out of the way. And then she, like, sees me, and then she, like, stops, and she goes, oh, that's the guy. And then we, like, make eye contact for, like, you know, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And she, like, smiles at me, and I go, hey. And then she just walks off.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I'm obsessed with that moment of like, what could have been, you know? Like, I start imagining a life together and I go, we're going to have beautiful babies. And this is the story how we met. And I always feel like, should I chase her down? I mean, there's no way to like, add me on Instagram. I'm desperate. You know, like you can't.
Well, I mean, like you do the same thing with your Instacart drivers. So
I know.
It's like,
I feel like we've been like brainwashed by PG-13 relationship movies where it's like you're supposed to do this big grandiose thing. No, that's just a call for attention from the cops. Like this dude has followed me 6 blocks. He said, add me on Instagram. Like,
well, yeah. And you, I mean, I think the thing of like, I mean, you'd have to step away and like go use your phone outside or something and be like, oh, you again. You know, it'd have to be, you'd have to fake it.
I'm not willing to sacrifice $50 for love. You know,
T-shirt sales,
T-shirts, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're like, I picture us having children and families and growing old together, but not for 50 bucks.
$50, come on.
Yeah. Come on, $50 is $50.
I love these T-shirts all the way here. That's another thing we were talking about. Sold like $600 worth of T-shirts at the dope show. Mm. And the whole time I was like, am I going to lug this thing all the way there to sell 2 shirts? I'm an idiot. What am I doing? And then I'm in the line going, I'm running out of mediums. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm a genius.
It's always Tyler, the same thing, because he was so hungover. He almost didn't bring them. And then he was like, I got to, you know what I mean? Luckily, he packed them the night before because he knows himself and thought he might fuck up. Right. And so it's always the day that you're like, oh, my God, it's just a bad vibe. I don't feel good. That's the day when you sell out.
That's why I put a condom on before I even go on stage. You know, just I know I might fuck up. So. Smart.
Yeah. Corey wears a condom when he meets the girl in the bar off Tinder. Yeah, yeah. Just to be safe. Look, I want to be prepared.
Yeah.
What's the old Bob Saget joke? I got a tattoo of a condom on my dick, so I don't have to wear one.
Wow.
Yeah, I strap on before I even load up the Bumble. Let's go. Keep it
That's
safe.
What I'm using to swipe right.
Swiping right.
Yeah, one time I sent somebody a photo of somebody on Instagram. It was gorgeous. That I knew he also liked. And he goes, oh yeah, I've seen it. I already double tapped it with my dick. Very funny. Jed Daniels, I'm pretty sure. Anyway.
Jeremy, what tell us about your business there. You're a health nut professional. This has got to be an interesting time for you to see people arguing about different medications and different science facts and all that stuff. And this has got to be like your area of expertise, right?
Yeah, and it's hard to engage in conversations just because everything is so polarized. And so like people come in already with dukes up and, you know what I mean, tensed up. So it's hard to reframe the conversation, right? So to keep it as simple and easy as possible is, I'll give a perfect example. When COVID first happened, everybody freaks out. Everybody starts panicking. Nobody knows what was going on, right? So then the NIH and the AMA, the American Medical Association, the National Institute of Health, they never prescribe anything for any reason. They treat natural health like a bunch of commie, you know what I mean? Like witch doctors nonsense, right? So, but with COVID, something that's so scary and uncontrollable and unfamiliar is the first time that they began, you remember this early on when they're putting out press releases saying, hey, we're not saying that this is going to cure COVID in any way, but it might be a good idea for people to take a little more zinc and what if vitamin C,
vitamin
elderberry,
D, right?
Vitamin D was a big one, right? So for the first time in history, really, the government is actually saying these things have proven to have certain value everywhere else in the world, maybe we should adopt it, right? Yeah. So something that I've been saying for 25 years, right? And then the government's finally being like, maybe, right?
Right. And that is sort of the problem with the distrust of their messaging, even, is that they're like, vaccine's the only thing that'll ever help. And it's like, vitamin D's shown huge impact on,
Right. And the government has been so, and I'm not being political, but they've been so non-transparent on everything that I can understand when people don't just because then it makes people distrust everything, which is bad. Right. Because now at this point, you can give people stacks of medical data and they're like, meh, I've been lied to enough. And they're not wrong. They've been lied to enough. Right.
So I was reading that too, that they were like the cash incentive for the vaccine didn't work. The free vacations didn't work. None of the bribery has actually worked that they thought. Oh, if we just give them money, they'll get a vaccine, a lottery card or whatever, you know.
Right.
And it's like, you already broke the trust even.
So exactly.
Like, we just don't even want to do anything associated with it.
So they already broke the trust. And just like you said, that makes it even more shifty, right? Like I tell people, if you ever get anything in your life for free, what's your first thought? Like, whoa.
What are you trying to get out of me? Yeah.
What are you trying to get out of me, right?
Facebook is like, I'm the product, right?
Yeah, we're the product, exactly. And now we're used to that. So again, not only are they saying like, hey, we're giving you this thing that's free and it's amazing, but also we'll give you some weed and lottery tickets if you do it. Whoa. In anything in the world, you should be immediately distrustful if someone's like, I'll give you weed and lottery tickets if you just do this thing for me, right?
That's
like a go-between from a
what
drug
is deal, the right? scam here you're giving me free drugs what?
I know it's a I don't see your angle. This is
you arrested my father for this 6 years ago and now you're saying it's free. Yeah,
right now it's legal.
He pulled me over in Philadelphia because my spoiler, my windows are too black, but
that's why every guy who's taking steroids won't take the vaccine. No.
Oh, I bet you that's funny. I bet you there's a big and that's another hard thing is that there's a lot of hypocrisy like that, right?
Right.
Where people that are like, this is a fair comment. I don't know what this is. I don't know if you guys saw, but one of the creators of the mRNA technology has been one of the biggest negative voices against it. Because he said we were still in the middle of researching this when it just got put out there. He's like, I don't want anything to do with what happens in the future, right? So if one of the people that created it is like, whoa, wait a minute, right? So I'll get his name. I forgot his name, but
yeah,
I was gonna,
that seems fucking crazy.
I'm familiar with him a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are when people say trust the science, it's like, well, there's a broad spectrum of science, right? But the problem is even though that's a valid concern, then you have the people that are like, I don't know what this technology is and what it could mean for the future, for my health and for my body. But also I do tons of cocaine and I used to be a meth, you know what I mean? Right. So there's so many of those inconsistencies too, that somebody that has genuine concerns looks identical to the person being like, the government's full of lizard people. Like, those two people seem identical. They, like, their voices are treated
equal.
There's
no room for nuanced conversation anymore.
Exactly, which is incredibly unfortunate. And here, I'll make this real quick and easy because it's not fun or interesting or funny in any way, but my background and my history is working on clients with severe autoimmune disease. That's my specialty, right? So severe fibromyalgia, osteogenesis imperfecta, lupus, Hashimoto's, Lyme disease, ugly stuff. So I get, if there's one in a million, I get the one, not the million. One of my biggest test cases that got doctors getting me credibility was I had a client of mine who was allergic to his own sweat. One of the rarest conditions on the planet, right? And I was the one that fixed it for him. I've gotten girls out of, I've gotten 16-year-old girls out of wheelchairs. You know what I mean? And so this is not me bragging. This is how doctors found me, because it wasn't my patient, it was theirs. And that's what kind of got me the credibility. So now fast forward 15
years. Andrew doesn't break a sweat, so he'd be perfect for that.
For that study.
That's why I don't exercise. I'm allergic to it. I swear.
Allergic.
So basically, real quick and easy. So many of my clients.
Andrew's gotten 16-year-old girls out of wheelchairs too.
I knew. I just was waiting for something.
All right.
To get out of the comedy club. To get out of the comedy club as fast as possible. You can walk. You're healed.
Go ahead.
I put her in a wheelchair because she can't walk anymore.
Ah, boy, 16-year-old.
Wasn't 16. I swear. I got it.
So yeah, just to wrap it up. So one of my clients whose autoimmune disease implies that their immune system is attacking itself, they can't have the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine puts them in the hospital, right? Wow. Epstein-Barr, things like that. So these people have been basically prescribed by their doctor that they're not a candidate for any of these vaccines, just because
it's right.
And that puts them in a small minority. All I can tell you off the top of my head, probably about 36 of my clients who have been bullied, they've been kicked out of their churches, their children are not allowed to play with other children, just because we have the concept of anti-vaxxers, you know, that of being these crazy fist-waving alt-right weirdos. And it's like, so this one of my clients got was the coach of the high school volleyball team. She lost her position on the volleyball team for following her doctor's orders. You know what I mean? But like genuinely, they said her kids are not allowed to play with any of the neighborhood kids. It's this weird scarlet letter thing that we're doing. And like you said, it's because there's no nuance. People just write everything off and put a big check mark.
Now, is that something that's, I mean, is that just we're electing 75-year-old people to be president, or is that a failure at, because it feels like even the CDC is kind of like, we got to kind of play to China because they give us a bunch of money and, you know, like, you know, feels like there should be multiple layers of like, I follow this doctor on YouTube that's got a couple million subscribers and he's just like, the whole time he's been like vitamin D, vitamin C, this stuff. And I'm like, okay.
So you want to
looks at all this information, you know, genuinely. And I'm like,
right. Objectively,
why is this more popular, you know?
Bingo, completely objectively, right? So here's a couple examples. So for back when I was in college, right? I lived with 7 other dudes in college and they used to make fun of me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've seen this video. But they used to make fun of me for all of my, you know, hippie crap, all of my, you know, being into supplements and natural health and organic, right? Because 15 years ago when I was in college, nobody cared about any of this, right? And so now, fast forward 15 years later, they're all married, fiancés, kids. They're all obsessed with it. You know what I mean? So whenever I meet their girlfriends and wives, like, I can't tell you how exciting it is to have a boyfriend or husband who just eats organic, you know what I mean, studies nutrition, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, 15 years of me yelling at that moron, and he looks like he invented it, right? So like you said, Andrew, this stuff is all new to so many people, but it's really not. It's been there for 45 years, highly evaluated, tons of medical data. In fact, in Europe, even longer, there's money, you know what I mean? And what is it? Something like 70% of pharmaceutical ads on CNN and Fox News and something like that, whatever it was, or the number
Pfizer.
I saw was alarming, right?
Yeah.
So who's going to criticize that market when that's the one that's paying you? So there's a lot of just a funny business. And as a perfect example, when this COVID stuff started, a client of mine called me and said, hey, I've been watching the CDC. I've been watching what they've been saying. So I need vitamin C. I need elderberry. I need zinc. I need garlic. Whatever they had been talking about at the time. I go, time out. How long have you known me? She's like, 8-9 years. I go, I want you to go home into your cupboard and look at 2 formulas that I've been giving you for the last 8 years and tell me what's in them. She reads the back. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, you've been taking these things for almost a decade. The rest of the country is just now catching up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that's not interesting, but that's what I do.
I like it. I think that's super.
In 10 years, I'll maybe get on board, but
exactly.
I don't know, man.
Corey's eating a bunch of chips on the podcast. And
I'm still trying popcorn. To get through the I'm still trying to get through those murder podcasts. I'll get to it.
Yeah, so my dad has Lyme disease too, so we've been like looking into stuff for the last couple years. You know, he's taking natural stuff, he's taking prescriptions, they give him antidepressants, and he's like, I'm not depressed, this doesn't do anything except kill my boners or whatever. And
exactly
like, all right. All right, I didn't hear that, but
hey, thanks dad. And you know, we're close, but
couldn't have done that 37 years ago.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh god. Well,
we all wish.
I don't know if abortion was legal back then. 1980. When was Roe v. Wade? I'm not sure.
Pharmaceutical abortion.
Yeah.
Well, this is, I'll make this real quick and easy since we're doing plugs, but I wasn't going to plug it just because it's not available or ready yet.
Hair plugs.
All the people I've been working with for the past 15 years are now regulars on Dr. Oz and Oprah. Right. So these people that were just completely obscure, these topics that nobody cared about, suddenly health, natural health especially, has kind of jumped to the forefront of conversations. Right. So these people are getting credibility. And these are people that have been researched for 30, 35 years that are finally able to get out there. Right. And so
now this Dr. Oz fellow, Dr. Oz, hasn't he been caught up in some scandals? And Dr. Drew's coming out against all this shit. Like, do you trust these celebrity doctors?
Red Raspberry, look it up. I don't want to take him down a peg, right? But yeah, he had to testify before Congress because he was over promoting things, which is senseless. As a doctor, doctors should never hawk a product, right?
So and isn't so, the sort of the what would you call it, the mission statement of medicine is to give as little treat with as little as possible or something like that?
Exactly. First, you know,
and now it feels like,
everything's,
you know,
heavy-handed.
We're getting heavy into this vaccine stuff, but it's like, you know, they want to vaccinate kids who are already really well protected against, you know, they're not really affected again, you know.
Right.
Is that, that's where I go like, oh, are they just trying to sell more stuff for, you know?
It's doubling down. And again, it's impossible to say anything nowadays without sounding like a conspiracy weirdo, but they've consolidated so much power. Like the vaccine passports, people always conceptualize those things as like a government, you know, rule or a medical. It's not. It's coming from technology companies who, just like Facebook, are trying to get information. It's not coming from the government. It's not coming from doctors and hospitals. It's coming from tech companies, right? So these, again, these criminals are basically putting these things together, and then everyone's trying to panic. And so eventually doctors and governments are going to be like, I guess we got to get on board. It's not coming from the sources that we trust. It's coming from monetary sources.
Yeah.
And that makes it difficult, a very difficult conversation, right?
So which vaccine did you get, if any? Did you get anything? Are you... Can we label you? Can we put a scarlet letter on you?
Right. So I'm not going to say which one I got, just because as time goes on, right, you come to find... certain things that weren't available for the time when you got them, right? So now there's certain they keep talking about crossing vaccines. Certain vaccines are having higher propensities of certain disorders than others, and it's just stupid and ugly, and I don't want to take a side on any of it. And so whether it's COVID or vaccines, every time I get clients coming to me and saying, what's my opinion, the first thing I say is, the only way I'll have this conversation is if you promise me that we can have this discussion as if the entire U.S. just fell into the ocean and all, what, 350, 400 million of us gone overnight, then let's begin the discussion. Because every discussion jumps to politics. It's just people just start from their corners and then move to the middle.
Whereas everybody's got to fall off the edge of that flat earth into the ocean, and then we can talk about
it. And then we can talk.
Yeah, all right.
Because I got J&J, but then I got a booster of Pfizer. Another thing that, well, I'm going off on my conspiracy rants, but it was like, they made the shots 3 weeks apart, and now in hindsight it's like, oh, 3 months is more ideal to build up that immunity or whatever,
right?
And maybe we wouldn't need boosters in the first place. And
they keep moving the goalposts.
And
that's what's frustrating, is that because I have older
but they
clients,
just wanted to get the studies done quicker, which I understand because it's kind of an emergency. But they were like 3 weeks, and then we'll wrap the study, you know?
Right. Which again, we understand we're under very compressed times. But at the same point, why are we the guinea pigs? Why are we?
The UK even delayed the second shot because they were like, hey, if we just get as many first shots as possible out, then that'll be easier than.
You know why that? You know why that was? Did you see this? Israel, which is this is weird, and I just non-conspiracy. It's just fascinating the world we live in, right? Israel has been the most vaccinated country on the planet. Something like 80% plus, right? They were the first country in the world to create the vaccine passport, which to me is the most insane thing I've ever heard. Is that of all the people in the world, the one saying "Show me up, Hepas" are the Jews? Really, Israel? I don't understand it, right? But that's what they did. So I find this fascinating. Whenever I see friends or clients or social media or whoever, people fighting over vaccines and masks and this and that and vaccine this, vaccine that, I go, the entire country of Israel shut down their borders to the U.S. because they're on their first booster, right? And they're now working towards their second booster. So they consider the entire U.S. unvaccinated.
Right. Isn't that amazing? Now, that's what the CDC said too. Is they're like, our definition of fully vaccinated may change in the future. And I'm like, well, exactly. Fucking,
see?
You know.
So when you see, when
what's
you see
the
when
point
I see
of even getting the first shot or the second? You know, I got to get all five shots or
right.
You know,
before, like, it's like, yeah, exactly, like a punch card before I can get my free coffee, right? But that's
I want a free weed if I get 10 shots. That's my goal, you know.
I was at a dinner function and these two people, one was unvaccinated, the other one was vaccinated, and I'm watching them fight and argue. And my first thought was like, hey, aren't we at this dinner function of strangers and coworkers to get away from all this stuff? Like, we're out of the house trying to, this thing that has encompassed all of us for 2 years. Here's a chance for us to get away and talk about pets and dogs and video games. And you want to talk about this? And
I also, you're spitting on each other.
I know, exactly. It's closing the space and yelling. Oh, real quick. I do have a funny story, but I just found it funny.
Gonna be like my funny story where it doesn't.
About time, I know. I'm telling a river story. So as they were fighting, I basically told them about that Israel thing, and neither one of them were familiar with it. And I basically said, according to the global world standard, neither one of you is unvaccinated. So shut the fuck up. Like, knock it off. Pick a different topic. You know what I mean? Yeah. The Seahawks suck. Let's talk about that, right? So here's
the truth. Fire Pete Carroll. Stop. You don't even know what you're talking about. Russell Wilson's the problem. Ah, jeez. Why is everything got to be an argument?
This, tell me what you think of this. This is 100% true story. And this is one of the first times that I began to be like, interesting. I think people are just losing their minds and they don't know what they're saying and they don't know what they're doing, right? Two of them that I found fascinating was, as a teacher, Corey, you'll appreciate this. One of my clients, her daughter is like valedictorian, like head of the class. She's a little like, what, 11-year-old little monkey, right? And her parents got her the N95 because this is all brand new and it was, right? So they got her because that's what all the news things were saying. This is the highest quality top of the line mask, right? Yeah. So they get her that, but it's got the breathing apparatus, right? So as a teacher, they basically called her to the front of the class, looked at her, evaluated her, looked at the mask and said, you got to go to the principal's office. This is not going to work. You can't stay here. So this poor little girl's humiliated, crying. She's 11, right? And less than that, I think she's 10, crying, going to the principal's office. And she's like, what did I do wrong? She had no, and again, so her parents had to drive and grab some medical mask to put on her. And this was the wrong mask, right? So the client of mine who actually works in medical fields was furious, as I would be if I was a parent, right? So she said, I'm going to go and watch this because here's my daughter crying in the principal's office. You pulled me out of work. She went to the classroom just to go watch and evaluate, which is highly irregular, but we live in weird times. She watched the entire classroom. Every time a kid would sneeze, they'd pull their mask down, sneeze, and then put it back on. And the teacher said nothing. You know what I mean? 30 kids sneezing and coughing and taking their mask off to sneeze and cough. And yet you're going to humiliate the one kid that didn't have the right mask. Yeah. It's just so inconsistent and so weird, right?
My favorite thing is when they pull it down to talk, you know, and it's like, no, that's when you need to keep it on.
That's when
more.
You're supposed to wear it. Exactly. Right. And you watch people doing these insane things and they have no bet. So
hey, I got to yell at you.
Yeah. So you'll love this. This is 100% true story. And this really like solidified the way I see things is I live in a area, like there's a wilderness preserve out here in Washington, and so we have coyote dens and bears. It's just wildlife everywhere, right? So
whenever I drive,
what's that?
Oh my, go ahead.
Oh my, bears, oh my. So I always have clusters of neighbors basically gather around because there's walking trails all around my property, right? And so so whenever I see a group of people huddled around the edge of my property, I'm excited because that means they saw a critter. And I've only seen one bobcat in my entire life living in the Pacific Northwest, right? But every time I go in, they're like, what are we looking at? I was like, oh, there's a hawk over here or there's whatever. So it's always exciting. So I was in my garage, just cleaning out the garage, just listening to podcasts. And then some dude yells at me from the top of the
homeschool.
I was at the top of the top of my drive, basically, right? And he's yelling at me. And the first thing in my mind was, oh, Bobcat, there's some critter. This is exciting. And so I go, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What is it? What do you see? That's what I'm asking him, right? And he's yelling at me, and I still can't hear him. So I turn the podcast off, and then I come out of my garage into my driveway, and I'm like, I'm sorry, man, I can't hear you. So, you know, do you have the motion? He comes forward, and he's like, and then he hears a little bit louder. And so I go, I still can't hear you. So I take a couple steps forward. He takes a couple steps forward. So we were 30 feet apart. We're now about 10, 12 feet apart. And I go, I'm sorry, what is it? He goes, put a mask on, man. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm outside, the safest place to come on. Target is a million times more unsafe than here. Are you yelling at people
in
Target?
You're on your own property?
I'm on my own property, outdoors, right? I was in my garage, physically in my property, right?
And this he yelled guy, at you to come closer.
Come closer, yeah. Exactly. And but again, remember, I'm in real time. So I'm not processing this the way you are. I'm in real time. And my brain froze. I was like, what? But he was so aggressive. He was so like, he was like, put a mask on. What he didn't say, hey man, I'm concerned about your health. Even though you're outdoors, maybe putting a mask on might be, that's not what he said. He came at me with anger and aggression and threats, right?
That always works, convincing people to do what you want.
See, what you want them to do is when you yell them, right? And I froze, and I couldn't think of it. And when he said it the second time with more aggression and more anger in his voice, I go, hey, you know you're on my personal property, right? Like, you're on the land that I own and I pay property taxes on. Based off of U.S. law, I go, I'm going to run to my garage, and there's a 9-iron. And if you can find it before I can, great. But if you can, I'm going to beat the life out of you. I'm going to murder you with a 9-iron. Do you understand that? Because I'm within my rights, because now you represent a threat. And he goes, whoa, man, geez, take it easy. Like, whoa, you can't, whoa,
that's
man.
That's what you just
can't,
did to me.
You can't take that stance. It's like running full speed, punching somebody in the face, and you're like, oh, God, I guess I'm in a fight. Then they run away. You're like, wait a minute. You can't, that's not a fight. You can't run in and slug someone and run away, right?
I watched this guy on Twitter the other day, a video. He was yelling at a waitress or whatever and going, fuck you. And then some other guy stepped up and he was like, hey man, just leave. And he's like, what do you want to do about it? And then a random guy comes over and just clocks him in the face, knocks him over. And then he gets up and he goes, this is assault. And I'm like, no, you asked for it. Yeah, yeah.
This is assault. Well, the funniest part to me of that situation was just like what you were saying, was that if this guy was truly concerned about COVID and it really was about COVID, why did you close the gap between us from 30 feet to 10? You know what I mean? And now I'm genuinely screaming and yelling and spitting at you. He had no problem with that. And he was laughing as he ran. He was like, God, sorry, man. Jeez. Okay. Take it easy. Right.
And you're like 6 feet below him too. So,
right.
You know.
Exactly. You're above me on the property.
But there's always social distancing with Jeremy, you know, it's always at least a few feet.
You're always going to be a social distance from me from the conversation.
Yeah, people, goofy people, man. I don't know. I've never heard people be quite like that, though.
I've had this is not fun or interesting, but I've had three incidences like that, three separate incidences. That was the most extreme. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm also out there in the public, which sucks. I'm forced to deal with the public.
Well, good thing you didn't get vaccinated and you're safe there. And
well, yeah, it's. I don't know. I feel like I don't even know where we are right now. Like, it just feels like I'm back. I don't know. I just live my life normally now. I don't really do anything. Well, I fly with the mask. That's about it. But I had it.
You kind of have the luxury of that, though. That's the nice thing. I have so many clients that are single mothers that stocking shelves that you know came. They can't. They don't have a choice. They're stuck in it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So that's the perspective I always try to look at things from. Not fun for them to get yelled at. Oh my! UPS drivers get yelled at constantly, constantly. Who has the right to yell at a UPS driver? Like, people just assume like the people treat UPS drivers like they're their employees. It's very weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I haven't witnessed, I mean, I don't talk to UPS drivers, but
FedEx or higher, that's all I'll go with.
Well, great. I mean, is business booming? How's this all affecting you? Your biz.
I'll make this quick and easy. COVID has been good for business, but it's also been devastating because supply chains are just destroyed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything now takes 10 times more effort. So on paper, working with my accountant, I've kept business consistent, right? But I've grown the business over 200%, but I've lost 200% of my clients because of COVID. So it's a net wash and everything takes more work. And nobody on paper, it looks like this, and it's not. Every little thing takes more effort. And just as a perfect example, for my employees, I had to coach them this. Picture this nightmare. There's a product that has been out of stock nationwide for about 8 months. The entire U.S. is, you know, they're
Viagra. Yeah, man. Different. I've been trying really hard to get it.
To get those boner pills. And so for 8 months, we get phone calls from all over the country of people saying, do you have this product? And I go, no, we don't. And that should be the end of the conversation. Like, well, do you know where you get it? Do you know where it comes in? I'm like, I don't. You want to be able to be like, no, click. But you have to be customer servicey and be like, it's out of stock, blah, blah, blah. But one conversation like that, picture 7 of those or 8 of those a day. It eats up your entire day, right? Those are the little like nuances of COVID that people don't see. And it's just devastating for small businesses. And as a perfect example, when this all started, probably about 6 months into COVID, probably 3 months after the initial lockdown, I started getting clients of mine calling me being like, hey, are you open? Can I come in? I was open the entire time, right? But because of the fear factor, it told people, don't go outside, don't go anywhere, don't go anywhere. But then I went to Target, which I never go to return a sweater, crawling with people. I was disgusted. I was like, you've been scaring people not to go into business, to stay home and don't go anywhere. And yet Kroger and Target is just littered with people everywhere and there's no controls. Interesting. So there's been a horrific power shift and a financial shift. And it's been devastating for small businesses. So I feel terrible for the ones that couldn't hack it and couldn't make it. So as difficult as it's been for me, I can't complain. You know, I've got little clients.
You've always been a hack. So
you can hack. You can hack it. let's talk comedy for just a second. I'm curious, did you do like 2 separate sets on that dope show that were like pre-written, ready to go? Like, this is what I do for comedy, or was it more like fucking winging it on the high set?
I'm glad you changed it. By the way, this is not the stripper podcast. I have different material planned. I didn't realize where we were going. No, you remember how Tyler and Rivers both were like hitting major marks and selling T-shirts? Because the crowd was, when we started, the crowd was very tense, very tight. They were, even for Tyler, they were not super open and whatever. I think Timmy Booth really cracked it up because Timmy is so honest and so, you know what I mean? Like, he's just himself.
Booth.
And I think that shook up that Spokane crowd because they're like, wow, we really want to make fun of Seattle idiots, which is fair, right? But this guy's a delight. And it really opened things up. So my first set, I thought pretty well. I don't know what you think, Andrew, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
But the last is fine. The last
I mean, I'm not going to book you from it or anything, but, I mean, you got banned from Tacoma Comedy Club, but,
I'm banned there anyway. So okay, I can't, you can't book me if you wanted to. And so, the last time we did the dope show, I didn't know that a lot of comics will smoke half the joint and then put the rest away for later. I thought part of it was you're supposed to smoke the whole thing.
Yeah,
I didn't like know, super right? high. Yeah.
Yeah. So I basically poisoned myself because I was trying to follow the rules. And then I realized the other two comics didn't do that. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm the one that's not the pot smoker. And I'm the one and I had a full on panic attack on stage. Like, I left stage, I did like 3 minutes and wandered off probably on the opposite direction. Right. And it was a nightmare. It was that feeling like I want everyone to get away from me. Right. And so Tyler said, let's switch up the weed this time. And just like Andrew was saying, it felt like being when you hear NBA players that score 50 points and they're like, the bucket was huge. Like, I couldn't miss. It was everybody, like, by I think they bought into me, Timmy, and Rivers, so that by the time we did our second set, now they're juiced up because now they're like, we like these cats. Yeah. We want to see them struggle, but we also, and so I felt so loose and fun. But because I had a panic attack that previous show, I decided to try something experimental. And I have a joke about how cryptocurrencies, how it's not real. Like, you put your money into something and it's just, you're not, who knows what the hell you're buying, right? It's just you're buying speculation versus my favorite cryptocurrency, Cameo, where I can pay Terrell Owens $350 to tell me that he's a little girl and scared, right? And so I was working on that joke, and then one day I was like, oh my God, I should see who else is on Cameo. And so I found out, I said, or for $35, you can get Andy Kindler to write you a joke for your dope show. And so I paid Andy, I did a Cameo for Andy Kindler to have him write a joke for me. But because it's Cameo, it went on for like 3.5 minutes. I didn't realize it was longer than three.
It felt like maybe we were all stoned, but it felt like 10 minutes. You were just playing a voicemail or whatever.
It felt like eternity. And I should have watched and timed the video. I just thought it was going to be a fun surprise. But I, even on stage, I was like, this is a nightmare.
Andy likes to bomb in person. So
exactly. Right.
Kind of his thing.
They're going through the dips and valleys. And I was like, oh man. But luckily the crowd stayed along for that. But it was just an experiment. I wanted to try it. But it was such a fun
It's fun. You don't have to the pressure of Hey, T, I don't know.
Right? It's just Ed Gandler. But he was being hilarious, but it was just like, it felt like a 10-minute set.
Well, Tyler had a funny, I whispered it in his ear, but he did a different, you know, I said something about like, is he on the phone with his dad or something like that?
Yeah.
And then he went back on stage and was like, I dipped out for a minute and I came back. And he added the setup, which made the joke really pop. And it got a huge laugh to make fun of you for that. So.
Oh, great. Wow, it sounds fun. I got to get on one of those shows again. Those are fun, good times. And I like to always do new material the second set. You feel kind of like, they're giving me a little bit of a break already, you know. And, pretty fun. Check them out if you're listening. The dope show's good. There's another one. I don't remember the name of it. And we're going to be live. And I'll tie it up with a bow here. All right, motivation from the teacher. So they so it's so interesting to give out those incentives, right, for like money to try and get the vaccine and all these other things, because like we've learned in education is that those incentives don't work hardly ever. Regardless, you can go, hey, you get an A, and I'll get, you know, and you're trying to motivate with the grade, and not just with like with, I suppose, some like super like studious kids or have punishments at home that they don't want, it might work. But in general, the three things that work for motivation are like autonomy, so they have control over it, they're in charge of it, it's their thing. Mastery, becoming like really, really good at something, that really motivates kids to be a master at it. They can get a D, but if they're great at it, they're the best at it, you know, they don't care. And then like intrinsic motivation, but like that's hard with a vaccine because mastery's out. I mean, I'm the best at getting vaccines. Like, that's not really.
But
intrinsic motivation and having control over it and your own decision. You made the decision, so it's that thing of like tricking people to make you, not tricking, but like convincing them that they came up with the idea. And so, you know, really, what we should do is encourage people to. Make, you know, have autonomy over the decision and not force it on them. That's the only way. And this, there will be a higher percentage of people that get it because of autonomy. Now, some of the people still won't, or I shouldn't say won't, like as if that's the goal, but some still won't do the right decision for their health. But they'll do the right decision more likely if they have autonomy in the decision making over it. So
they at least feel like they have a choice in the matter, which feels more empowering, which feels like I can at least,
So carrot stick has never really worked in education, at least.
Every time they tried it, so, it's never worked, kids.
No.
Let me ask you this. What if, like, when you're in people that are incapable of having those, you know, for whatever reason, for whatever disorder they have, they can't have the vaccine.
And right.
And then are presented with attacks and bullying nonstop. How do you address that?
Well, so that's interesting because my understanding is at least that I would suspect that person that lost their volleyball coaching job would have a pretty significant legal case on their hands if they wanted, because even in schools, they allot for medical condition and religious exemption. Religious exemption is pretty hard because I don't know that there's even a religion that has come out to be anti-vaccine or whatever.
Well, let me say this. What you just said, they're supposed to be those protections. Those protections are eroding daily.
Well, I mean, but again, I don't know that there's any, I don't know you have a leg to stand on if you're trying to claim a religious reason. I mean, like the Wazoo coach tried to claim Catholicism, but then like the Pope was like, everybody should get vaccinated. So it's not going to work out for him very well, I don't think. But yes, the medical reasoning should absolutely and unequivocally be. And I'd like to think that people would be reasonable when you say, hey, I have an autoimmune disease. Getting a vaccine is very dangerous to my health, that they'd go, oh, by all means.
You would think.
But you know, I don't know how that's playing out for those folks. It sounds like there's some
horrifically.
You have some anecdotes that are, it's not going well for a lot of those people. So that's obviously terrible. So
yeah,
I'm in a different world where I haven't experienced that. So, but yeah, like somebody today was, I don't know. It's, we have different worlds, so from our perspectives, we can go like, hey, I got some, you know, one anecdote's not great, but if you're like, hey, I got like a lot, that's obviously gonna move the that should move the needle a bit. But anyway, I just think we should all be able to do comedy.
Well, I got
no restrictions. Noticed, how about that?
I have noticed though also that even for open mics and stuff that and weekends, it's just quick guest spots that the audiences, I think things have gotten so contentious and so tense. It feels like audiences are now looser.
I've been enjoying all the shows I've been doing since for a long time, but since like late June, early July, I've been pretty awesome. People,
yeah,
a lot of people, their first time out, not right. out, but first time out to a live performance,
right?
And so, yeah, so I'm excited to get back out there,
yeah,
do more of them. You're Mr. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's just real quick. This is mostly for you guys because nobody else cares. I have nothing to plug because it's not done yet. But one exciting thing that's come out of this is that all these authorities that that I've worked with for 15, 20 years who are now showing up on the mainstream, right, are going to help me. Plus a Microsoft preferred vendor film team is going to help me start filming topics about just what we've been talking about. So simple things. Right. And so it's all these people that basically said, hey, because of my contractions and my sponsors and this, and that, I'm not allowed to discuss these issues, but you are because you're a comedian and you can present it entertainingly. So they're feeding me information, top flight medical information, cutting edge stuff, and just having me deliver it in a silly way. So I got a set being built in. Yeah. So I got a set being built in 3 weeks. I've got a designer coming tomorrow. So it's going to be awesome when it's ready. But yeah.
We got a year and a half of jokes about this junk, so yeah, maybe there's something there. But well, people want to follow you. It's Mr. Jeremy Horn, right?
Yep.
On all the things, maybe, or at least Instagram, and
yeah. I'm
Corey Michaelis Comedy on all the things. Andrew's Andrew J. Rivers on all the things. Homeschool.
Oh,
check my stool, Jeremy. Homeschool podcast. Thank you guys for listening. We love you. Bye.
Yeah. So do you Venmo us the money or how do we?
I can't hear you. You're cutting out.